your heads. We'll run to the Lord. Father, without you, we can do nothing that's of any value. So I ask that you would release your grace right now to have our eyes and ears open, our spirit to perceive that your spirit is really speaking to each and every one of us. I ask this in Jesus' name. I want to take you to Mark chapter 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Got Mark 16 on my mind, I guess. And the very first verse speaks of the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to Jesus to test him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. The religious folks are still looking for signs today. There's been no change. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today, it will be stormy, for the sky is red, overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. I want to kind of stress the reality that they're normal. Just like every one of us is normal. They're focused on natural things because they are of this world. They have yet to receive the Holy Spirit. So he says, "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." See the normal response? They're already so guilty and focused on themselves and what they should or should not be doing because of the legalism of their upbringing that they are so guilty, they're already blaming themselves. And they're not guilty. There is no guilt to be had because he's not speaking on that level. 8. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith." Now, you wouldn't expect him to tell them that they haven't got any faith with that comment, would you? See, faith is what's going to keep you in the heavenlies. "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? And how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When you and I are receiving a commission from the Lord, he may be saying to you, "Go pray over that building." "Well, Lord, it's all locked up," which is what my response was. "Well, go in the driveway anyway." So I went in the driveway. I went to the front door. It was locked as tight as could be. And the Holy Spirit said, you're at the wrong door. Well, I went to the back. And I'm praying in the Spirit, having no clue what to do. And the door was open, a crack. So I proceeded to be nosy. Lord, what do you want? He says, take your bottle of oil. And as I walked through that building, I went through every area, up, down, you name it, because there were rooms downstairs, which ended up to be the pastor's office, which I did not know. And I prayed over every wall that he told me to pray. Tell your neighbor you're silly enough to obey. Because it's going to feel silly. The disciples are talking to each other about yeast. And Jesus is talking about the pride and the teachings of the adults of that day. And the respected people of that day. Because Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't have that heavenly profession of a Sadducee or a Pharisee. If you look at your background, you say, I'm a nobody. Guess what? It's the nobodies that he chose. I'm not teasing you. It's the nobodies that will be able to obey. It's the ones that will question themselves. Huh, I never learned, I never studied, I never had these degrees. Verse 12, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, if you would have said to me, go and do, and then I didn't obey, what value would this testimony have today? What if I said, nah, I ain't got time, Lord? He would have found somebody else. But I was commissioned to do one thing. And when I told the pastor, after they purchased the building and they redid it, it was very, very attractive. And we had a discussion. And when I went to speak about my experience, the Holy Spirit said, be quiet. I've never spoken about this to anybody, anywhere, anytime. I have it in my notes. I could tell you when I went if I look back in my notes. But why not speak? Because it wasn't time. There are things God's going to call you to do that you won't understand. He's going to press you to action. It may have value and it may not. It may just be a test. Just to see if you'll obey. It may prove out to have no value at all, but the Holy Spirit will know that when he speaks to your heart, you're willing to bow your knee and obey and do what he says in spite of your emotions. So my press to you is don't discuss what kind of yeast it is. Just do it. Just do it. What do you have to lose except maybe a little bit of pride? And self-justification that may come later. Verse 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? So now he's nosy. He wants to get their opinion. And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. I love 15. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed. I love it. Here's a fisherman. No real education. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, or stone, and on this rock I will build my church, which is revelation knowledge. And the gates of hell, or Hades, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Why did he make that comment? Anybody got a clue? Why would he tell him basically to shut up?
It's something that I believe we're all drawn by the Spirit of God. And I'm just adding, I'm just throwing this out there. But those who are of God, those who belong to Him, those who God chooses to reveal Himself to,
that's the secret.
It will be a revelation to them.
Amen.
And they'll know Him by the Spirit.
By the Spirit. How many felt that same thing happening tonight when there was a circle right here? That there was a drawing and there was a pulling on different individuals to do and to obey. And it wasn't revealed by flesh. It wasn't something we rehearsed before we walked in. It wasn't anything to do with trying to please people. It was done by the press of the Spirit within. To just coordinate and be obedient. And to accomplish whatever purpose he had in each and every one of us. You see, when the Holy Spirit wants to reveal himself in a certain way, he's going to use whatever he needs to use. And whatever revelation he needs to give. To get his purpose across. Peter got the word. Jesus got excited. Peter got the word. Jesus gets excited. Nobody! See, I can just see his excitement. Because I know that when someone gets something that only God could have revealed, that there's an inside jumping that goes on, like it did with Mary and Elizabeth. The baby leaped. Elizabeth was aware, and her mouth took off. Last week, Irene and I discovered we had a busted pipe. Which we don't particularly enjoy having busted pipes. But we had to call Abe again. So Saturday night, in the midst of the storm recovery, here comes Abe with his sweetie to come to repair the pipes that are actually leaking all over the carpet. But we had put some pails down and so on. So, make a long story short, during part of the evening, after the pipes were repaired, we ended up praying, the four of us together. And my wife looked at Abe and Kimmy and said, you know what? Why don't you guys come over someday when there's not a pipe that's leaking? It'd be more fun. Why? Because God's plans are different than man. Nobody but God could do what he has accomplished in my life. Nobody could be more excited than when Jesus says to me, in using different individuals, that I was on the right track. I can remember for 13 years we had a prayer group that was in the Roman Catholic Church in Three Rivers. And there was a lady that used to come every single week. There were actually three carfuls that would leave the north end of Springfield and come up to the little village of Three Rivers every single Tuesday night. This happened for 13 years. Every single week. Three carfuls.
That must have been in the 70s, right?
Huh?
Early 70s?
Yep. Early 70s and early 80s. North End was definitely all French.
I know.
So, yes, you do. This one lady was an ex-nun. She had been impressed of God to leave the convent. And there was a real connection, spirit to spirit, with this lady, with me. She was connected with others, but there was that special connection. Anyway, to make a long story short, she had come to visit on a Monday morning at Grace Church of Christ, where I was now working. So it had to be after 85. And she had a word. Because there was a space of time just where the worship stopped and the word came out. And she declared, just like you did, "Oh, this word is for Peggy tonight." Well, that day, it was a word for Kim. I was probably under the carpet, hiding with the rugs, bugs, trying to be of the least amount of significance because I was just having a very difficult time. But the word was, and I won't quote the word, I'll just tell you that it was a word. 4 or 5 syllables, that was about it. And as soon as it came out of her mouth, the leader literally reprimanded this woman such an awful way that I wanted to just scream. And the lady was so wounded, apologized, but after everybody was leaving the church, she said, "Kim, I know that word was from the Lord, even if I did get reprimanded. And I will write it down for you if you want to." And I said, "By all means, please do." So the following Tuesday, she showed up. She gave me the written word. And I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, why was it so hard on this woman? Why was it such an insult to their integrity that I would receive a word to lift me up out of the gutter?" Anybody got a clue why? Because I really needed it. It was a real word. Okay? If I wouldn't have needed it, number one, I could have said, "Thank you, I'll pass." But I knew that it was the Lord. There have been times when God has recreated my spirit man to come back up out of darkness, out of the cave, if you wish. I don't care what expression you use. But when you're crushed, that's when you need a word from the Lord. Anybody got a clue why Jesus got so excited now? Because he needed the confirmation that Peter had. Papa had already invested a word inside of Peter to lift up his son. Yeah. And Jesus was excited. Thank you. I gave a hug to that lady as she was leaving, and the tears were rolling out of her eyes because she got publicly humiliated and insulted. 2 years later, she was gone to be with Jesus at a very young age.
And I was going through another test. How many know you're going to get tested again and again? This time it was a very precious word that the Lord had given me. He had given me 2 or 3 scriptures. And I was having a major hard time with it because it was unacceptable to my little skinny brain. How many know you got a skinny brain? Okay? It gets skinny because you want it to be compacted and understood. And I said to the Lord in the middle of the night one night, Lord, if this is really you, then you've got to give me something from somebody that knows nothing. It's got to be you. It's got to be you because this is too far off the map. Okay? Too far off the map. It can't be. It's just unheard of. God took a young man that happened to be related to the lady that had just gone home to be with the Lord. He showed up on a... He was still coming every Tuesday with his relatives. But he was mongoloid. He had the mentality of maybe a 7 or 8 year old. He wrote a letter to me with the same 3 scriptures that I was fighting with. I still have the letter. And I repented because I asked the Lord to take away my unbelief, my own self attitude about me had to go. And when he died to be with Jesus, the Lord had me read that letter in the funeral home to his relatives. Because you see, he was reprimanded by his relatives because he was not supposed to bother Kim Bergeron. His mother and his aunt, who were in charge of him, reprimanded him publicly and privately, and even to me, that he should not have bothered me. And when they spoke those words to me, the tears were rolling out of my eyes because I said he was on target and I needed a word from him. By anybody else, it would have had no value or less value. Close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Whatever you have to do,
whatever you have to do,
to get through to me.
Get through to me.
Using whatever vessel you choose.
To get through my
unbelief.
Do it, Lord.
Don't let me off the hook.
Don't let my unbelief rob me.
Don't let any of the demonic kingdom interfere. Get through to me no matter what the price. And then give me the grace to go forward. See, because Jesus is going to get excited inside of me. It's his spirit that's in me.
It's his spirit that's in me.
That gets excited when truth comes out.
That gets excited when truth
comes out. Even if it tampers with my unbelief.
Even if it tampers with my unbelief.
Because I've got some of that stuff.
That
unbelief comes up when you least expect it.
Unbelief comes up when you least expect it.
Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Say that unbelief has got to go. It's a demonic spirit. And I bind that strong man.
I
renounce his works. Everything has got to go. That would stop me from my destiny. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. And amen. Share some hugs.